I'll try to summarize your question because probably not everyone heard it. What's your name? Katarina shared recently, a while ago, she was praying for the... I understand. Yeah. So she shares she was praying for the, what do you call this? A commune, the borough. So this area where the church is in. And she discerned certain principalities, influences from darkness in this area. And she felt compelled to pray against it. And from that moment on, she felt that there was oppression in her family, that they had a battle going on. Now, first of all, and then the question was, okay, if that is what happens and it's not my metron, then what do I do with this knowledge? That is an interesting question because obviously you are one of the discerners. And there is a lot that discerners discern. One of the things that I always hope that a discerner learns is where is the off button? Because otherwise it could drive you nuts. You see everything and you constantly are aware of all the influences in people, in cities, in neighborhoods, in houses, etc. So that's one of the things to pray about. Okay, the Holy Spirit, can you teach me when to switch it off and how do I do that? And the other thing is, okay, you will see things whether you're looking for them or not. If that is one of your giftings, all the people that I know that have that will see things. So the question is not when you see it, it's yours. No, when you see it, what do I do with it, Holy Spirit? Is it mine or not? Otherwise, many of the things you will see could create that distraction outside of your metron, and you're probably already you have been there. You saw this, and you have a compassion for this neighborhood, so immediately you go after it, and you find this battle. My advice would stop going after it for now, but tell your leaders what you see. And then pray, not going after it, but for protection for the people that are part of your church, so that the church can be kind of like under the blood and the protection of Jesus, grow and get stronger and stronger, and in the end it'll just push it out, or it will, the other process will come of united. But the danger is the more you see, the more you're tempted to go after everything. So that's probably the best advice I can give you. Yeah, but that didn't start until she started praying against it. That's what she said. Yes, and the reason for that, I think, but I'm careful treading there, is that you now prayed a prayer as if you had a different position. The prayer before was, it came into your home, and why? What are you doing here? This is my home, my family? No, go in Jesus' name. I'm under Jesus. But this time you prayed a prayer from a place of authority over a neighborhood, which probably isn't yet part of your personal metron. It could be part of the metron of the church, but then you need to talk to the church leadership and they begin to discern with you, okay, where are we? Can we start praying like this? Until that time, you can help protect. You can be a watchman on the wall, and you know what's going on out there, so you pray, Lord, bless the church, bless this person, that person who lives there in that street where this is going on. I pray that you'll make them invisible for that, etc. But that's a different prayer. You understand the difference? Okay, Robert-Jan? Is there for Keith? This is linked into this, right? That might be good to share.
I used to be a businessman, traveled all over the place, and therefore, when I was staying over, I'd go into lots of different hotels, etc., and houses. And because, again, one can discern as a Christian, if you've got that gifting, there's something not right in this place. And what I always used to do, every time I went into a new place, all sorts of stuff goes on in the bedrooms, etc. And sometimes the whole house is contaminated. You can actually sense that the house is contaminated. But if I go into a hotel, and I've been into some which have been contaminated, but when I go into that room, I've paid for the room. It's under my authority, right? And when I used to go in, I used to say, Lord, clean this place out. Whatever has been in here yesterday or the day before, I don't care what the owner thinks, this is your territory. So you come in, it establishes his authority, and actually the peace of God comes into that place. That's a very good way of illustrating. Remember, work within the confines of your authority. I had paid for that room. At least my company had thankfully paid for that room, right? But I had the authority to say, look, this is actually God's domain, because I represent that. And it's so important. Sometimes you'd like to pray for the whole hotel. Right? You can have an influence through the corridors, but you have dominion in the area that you have paid for. Similarly, exactly what is being said. Your home and your garden is yours, right? And therefore, you can put a boundary. And I know people that actually take communion and put, you know, the blood of Christ on the various corners, etc. How you do it ritualistically, and that's not a critical way, but authentically, then that's fine. But it's so important to work within the domain that's yours. What you also find is sometimes the enemy tries to break into your... He's a trespasser. He is by nature a trespasser. And he will try and come to your home in one guise or another. And sometimes people will walk through the door and you think, I'm not just getting a human being here, I'm getting something else as well. So again, it's just learning to develop this gifting. And it is a spiritual battle. But work within the authority that you have, within the domain that you have, and then when you've got time to buy the whole hotel.
And so that's a very clear example. The difference between being a blessing in the corridor and being authority in your room. You see the difference? And so by the time the whole hotel is yours, then you can be an authority in the whole hotel. That's the difference.
So how do you go back once you've taken too much authority?
That's the way I would do it. When I bump into something like that and bruise myself, I go back to the Lord and say, Lord, okay, now I understand a little bit better. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do this until it's my time. For now, I understand I can do this. And so basically it's a kind of repenting, saying, Lord, okay, this happened to me. Now I understand it. Now that it's been explained, I understand I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, Lord. Please cleanse me through the blood of Jesus. So you go back into that place of protection. And from that place of protection in the area where you have authority, you exercise that. So that's Robert. Yeah, I'll talk nothing. That's a good one.
Because in Spain, I have at a touristic site, and there was also a monastery of the Black Madonna,
But when do you do that? Yeah. Yeah, but let me summarize that. Two questions I hear in Robert John's comment. One is there a difference between praying for something or taking dominion or authority over something? And the other one is basically, when do you do that? Now, first of all, there is a difference between those two things. Praying for something is like doing intercession. You know, I see someone doing something that is really harmful to themselves or to other people or to creation. It's very far outside of God's intention. Then I can pray for that person. I pray for that person. Lord, have mercy on that person. Holy Spirit, you can convict a person. I pray for you, for that person, that you will come and convict them, and that of the truth and of sin and of grace, etc. So I'm basically appealing to the throne for the throne to reach out and grab that person by the lapels and drag them out of the mess that they're in. When I turn around and I begin to address the powers that try to destroy that person, that is a totally different prayer. I do not do that unless the throne nods, if you understand what I'm saying. Until that time, especially when it's something as big, in my opinion, as a cultural thing that has been there for ages in a city or in a culture, then I tend to not do that. I have never yet had a situation where the Lord says, okay, now I want you to stand up. This is a special occasion. I'm behind you. I want you, on my behalf, to rebuke this whole thing. I haven't had that happen. I can imagine that the Lord would do that, but I would want to be extra specially certain that he did it, that he told me, and that he told me to do it by myself, because I tend to think, no, let's get a band of brothers in and do it together, because this is not something you do lightly. In cases like that, where I end up in, you know, in situations unwillingly, like that carnival or that sanctuary that you described, I do not want to stay there long, as short as possible. I place myself under the blood, the authority, and the protection of the Lord Jesus, and all those who are mine, whom I have relationship or authority over. And after I've been there, I pray, Lord, cleanse me from anything that would want to stick to us, because that's not a place where I would voluntarily go back to. You understand? So that's the way I would approach it. Now, because of time, we have to stop at 3, right, according to the program. I want to share just one more thing. It's not very, how do you say that? It's very logical. In the Bible, you see many stories where occult powers, demons, trouble people. One of a great teaching by John Wimber, which is available as MP3 list on Vineyard Resources UK. John explains, from his experience, he says there's 3 types of ways that the devil tries to infiltrate or manages to infiltrate in people's lives. One is that people are oppressed. You could say it's almost like normal life, they don't notice anything. But certain moments, if they want to go somewhere particular because of the Lord, it's almost like there's an elastic band on the back of their on their back, and they can't. There's restraint. There's something that's holding them back. Or if you press certain red buttons, something triggers, explodes almost, and then it's hard to keep control. The second thing is demonized. Demonized, as the way John, I seem to remember, describes it, is there are areas where the person loses control. There are areas that are... there's no freedom, but the control loss is not in the sense of restraint, but in the sense of it comes from the inside. on the inside, there is almost a switch. You lose it. And the third thing is like the man at the Gerizines. I don't know if I pronounced it right. The guy that had a legion of demons in him, he was possessed. There was no space for the person anymore. The demons had taken over completely. That is quite rare, as far in my experience. I don't think I've ever seen anyone in that state, and I'm glad, because that's a very sore, sad thing to see. How do dark forces of darkness get there? They get there through the door. There is a door to anyone's life. And that door to the area outside of God's protection and God's provision is a door that's not supposed to be open. But people go outside of the place where the Lord wants us to be. If a person sins incidentally, accidentally, that is a different thing from going to a place of sin intentionally, time and time again. And when you do that, I don't remember which church father it was, but there's an account of one of the very early church fathers from the first century who describes a session of deliverance prayer, where the demon wouldn't go out of a woman. And at a certain point, the church father is desperate and says, why doesn't this demon go? And then the voice of the person changes into that demon voice, and he says, I found her on my turf. She's mine. In other words, stop harassing me. This is legal. So what is that turf? That turf is a place outside of the wall of God's protection, outside of the law, where we shouldn't go. In this case, it was unclean sex, as far as I remember the story. So unless there is repentance from going there, there is not going to be an opportunity to break the legal ground. Now, if that is possible for a person, then there is also a possibility for something tangible other than a person, for things to get connected to. If a certain place has been used for a certain thing outside of God's provision of protection, outside of God's will for people, then that place can become invested, you could say, can become occupied territory. And what we found is through history that places, areas, houses, for example, but also boroughs, streets, cities, even countries can get that heritage over them, where a nation, people have sinned in that place continually in a certain way, and that opened the door for demonic power to easily manifest there. Now, in the same way, it can be with an open heaven. Have you ever been in an open heaven place? I have. I still remember one place that was actually Reading, Bethel, where the book Andrew and Rosie showed. I was there the first time, and I spent a couple of hours in their prayer chapel. And that was one of the first experiences I had like that. I had, from the second I sat down to the time that I walked out the door, the Holy Spirit spoke to me all the time, constantly. It was like there was an open door, like Jacob's ladder. Do you remember that he saw the heavens open, the angel came down and went up and came down and went up? It was like that. And the interesting thing was the Lord spoke to me about angels there. A whole list of things that he taught me about it and that I hadn't known. I later found I need to write a book about this. This is new. And then I found out, no, there is already a book like that. I just never read it. So the Lord found time to tell me personally, which was kind. But I could have saved some time maybe by reading the book, and he could have told me even better things. But these places that are like an open heaven, this is not a trick. Don't hear it like that. But if there's a place where people continually meet for prayer, continually meet to humble themselves, to worship the Lord, to be in unity in their desire to meet the Lord, years after years after years, those places can sometimes also turn into places where it's easier to find the Lord. because they're cleansed, they're under, there's kind of like the Lord says, okay, I know they're coming, so I'll already put my angels down there. The Holy Spirit is waiting. That's just me trying to give a picture to it. But it almost feels like that. So in that respect, there is dominions. There are things going on. And if you want to be a blessing in your city, even if you're in the metron of your church or your personal metron, you sometimes walk through them. My metron is not to throw them out. My metron is to do the things I was sent to do. And anything hindering me to do that, I have authority over. Now, there's a distinction. There's authority for me to not be bothered by it. That's a different authority from casting it away or casting it out. Do you understand that? Many times, I notice that the way this tends to want to bother me is either in my, most of the time physically, and sometimes in my emotions, in my mind, but physically is the one thing that I really wanted to draw your attention to. I think, this is too general a statement, I'm aware, but I think I'm ready to say that there are many colds and flus and headaches and other of the type, those types of things, or fatigues that you and I suffer that we're not supposed to suffer. They come on you because you're doing what you're supposed to do, but you're doing it in an occupied area. You're there because you have to be there, but you sense it, and it's trying to influence you. It's trying to get to you, trying to get you sick or down. And I was surprised that there were several times where I felt a cold coming, and it was real. My throat started hurting, and my sinuses started clogging up, and I kind of felt, why? I said, no, I'm not partnering with this. Get away from me in Jesus' name. And it was gone instantly. How's that possible? Was it not a real cold? Was I imagining things? No, I'm sure it was. But it was there because of this type of dynamic, I think. Doesn't mean that I never suffer a cold anymore. You understand? Because there's times when I'm home and I just catch a bug and I try to fight it the same way, but there's something else that I need to learn there. I need a gift of healing, you know. So that's what I wanted to share with you. And I suggest that you begin to become more and more aware of, okay, am I in my metron? And what am I sensing right now? And not everything, it links a bit into the session we did last year. I don't know if some of you were there. Not everything that you sense and that influences you, you have to tolerate. So make sure you are as vigilant in that respect as you can be. And be healthy, but also be smart. You understand? So if you're tired, it could be that you work too hard. But it could also be, my wife and I, when we moved to the city that we pastor in now, I had heard several people say every time that I met them, they're so tired. And I began to sense when we began moving, so my place of residence was now in that city, and I began to drive into the city from a different angle. I wasn't living outside the city. I was now living into the city. I was driving my stuff to the house. I began to sense at a certain point on the road, all of a sudden this tiredness would really fall on me. And I kind of remembered, wait a minute, I hear people who lived here a long time speak about it. So I said, no, I'm not partnering. Get away from me in Jesus' name. Instantly it was gone. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to try this out with my wife. First time we drove out of the city, I told her, okay, be aware. I just said, be aware. What? Of what? Well, you know, spiritually. And she sensed it. All of a sudden there was this tiredness. And then the next time we drove out of the city, I said, okay, let's see if we can pinpoint the boundary of this influence. And you could actually, on the highway, there's a certain point where it stops. That's an illustration. There's something there that does that. Can I cast it out of the city? No. But I don't have to suffer it. You understand the difference? As long as I'm in the place where the Lord wants me to be. So that's what I want to pray over you, that the Lord will make you aware properly.
Do you also think that your church?
So your what?
Do you also think that your
Yeah, I think, yes, do you also think that your church doesn't have to suffer that? I think so, yes, but on a person-by-person basis, I think I want to try and explain this, teach this. So one final prayer, and then we close, because people are here for coffee. I'll answer your question privately, okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood and the protection that we are under, the authority that we are under, Lord Jesus. And I pray for us, my brothers and sisters, individually, myself, individually, and us as part of churches. I pray for this sermon, Lord Jesus. What is the mission we are on as far as you are concerned? What is the gift that we bring to our city? And what are the gifts that other churches bring? And how can we bless them and unite with them in blessing our cities more and more? And Lord, I pray for a clear understanding, a clear a connection with the things that your spirit is showing our spirit, our bodies, what they're sensing, to understand them and to know how to deal with them. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll bless each one of us to not suffer things that we don't need to undergo, because we're doing the thing that you call us to do. Even though we do it in a place that is not totally free yet, we are free. And so I bless you to take authority in those instances, to recognize it and to not be under them, but also to know your measure, to know the measure of the grace that is on you now and the authority that is on you now, and not go outside of those boundaries. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you all.
Yeah, it is on. Just a quickie for you. For some of you, you're leaders in churches, and I don't know whether you've noticed occasionally when you start a service, there is a sense of an oppression sitting on the service. Even though you're in a sanctified building, you've committed it to the Lord, but there is something sitting on the service. At times, it's important to discern that, to stop whatever you're doing. You've got your program, but it's not penetrating. And just actually invite the Lord to come in and actually banish anything, which is so in the same way that you were talking about something was sitting on you at a personal level, that happens on a corporate level. Okay, so that's part of your job as a leader, to discern that. If it's happening, you need to stop, deal with it, and then you'll get greater freedom both in worship and in ministry and the preaching of the word. Okay. Amen.